Hi, I'm Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm in the studio with Dan McKay on the right.
Good morning, Natalie.
And with Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Hi, Natalie.
And I represent the Political Center. We want to start the program by talking about the big news. Roy Moore loses the Alabama Senate race. This is the first time in, I think, something like three decades that a Democrat will represent Alabama in the U.S. Senate. Wow.
Yeah.
This is one of those things. Jim, let's go to you first. Speak on behalf of the Democrats here.
Well, I think the whole country is sighing.
Do you win or do you lose
this
here, Jim?
Look, the moral part of me is thrilled. The political part maybe is torn. The big issue for Utah.
That it could actually be better for a Democrat for Mr. Yeah. Moore to win.
Yep.
The big issue for Democrats and for the honest, reasonable people of the state is the utter, absolute silence and cowardice of Orrin Hatch and Mike Lee. You know, when President Trump came out swinging for Moore, where were they? Where were they? They were hiding. They're afraid of their base. And we go once again to our state being controlled by a few fringe caucus people. And you have U.S. senators like Orrin Hatch and Mike Lee in the bushes, cowering, afraid to speak moral truth against those who were protecting this man. So morality and goodness won this time, but no thanks to Orrin Hatch and Mike Lee.
You know, everybody's going to be saying Roy Moore lost. Nobody's going to be saying Doug Jones won.
Yeah.
Who won?
Yeah. Yeah. Says something about it. Dan, give us some color commentary on what this means.
Well, as Jim highlighted, I thought Jim's answer was really, really interesting, right? In one way, great, moral high ground. Mm-hmm. In another way, you know, he knows that it's bad politics a little bit, right? Because the Dems were going to spend 2018 rubbing our nose in Roy Moore, right?
Okay, and imagine, sorry to interrupt, but yeah. Imagine on C-SPAN in slow motion every time Moore walks out on the Senate floor and Orrin Hatch goes over to shake hands with him, and boom, there's a commercial again and again and again and again.
Yeah. So what this highlights is the gamesmanship versus, you know, the statesmanship of politics. And I just find it extremely interesting to watch the gamesmanship side of it because the Republicans know they're down a vote. And this is a game changer. When you've got a two-vote buffer and you can tie with the vice president or, you know, pull out a tie out of the vice president, you can lose one or two votes on a controversial issue. They don't have that margin anymore. And so now they're looking at one vote margin for everything they want to do for the next year on the president's agenda, whatever that is. And I think this certainly changes the culture of Washington, D.C. And when you look at the Senate, now I say that, but next year the Republicans pick up more seats than they will lose just based on states that Trump won and that kind of thing. So this may be a short-lived problem, at least in the U.S. Senate. The House may be a different story.
It's going to be interesting to watch. Tell me, you guys, certainly Donald Trump's about ready to give Doug Jones the name, you know, so there was Low Energy Jeb, Little Marco, Crooked Hillary. What is the name that you predict he'll give to Senator Doug Jones?
Doug Temp Worker Jones.
Doug likes old women Jones.
Wow. I don't think that'll happen.
Like that.
No,
I
wow.
But I think the temp worker thing is real because he's only filling in until 2020.
Yeah. Dan, explain to us the numbers of the U.S. Senate now.
Okay, you got 100, right?
Okay, we knew that.
So
we'll start with, you know, basics.
I'll start there, right?
And is there two from each state?
And there's two from each state. So, yeah, we got there. Okay, and still for everybody else, Puerto Rico's not a state, no senator. Okay. Hawaii is, though, Jim. So
thank goodness.
Much to the birthers, you know, conspiracy. But you look at 100 and you're looking at 52 members of the U.S. Senate. That's the big deal. And so you drop one, losing the, you know, the Republican mm-hmm. vote, which was Jeff Sessions in Alabama, which is his former vote. Now losing, you know, that vote is a net loss, honestly, to the gamesmanship side of the Republicans. However, and I didn't talk about statesmanship a minute ago, at least the Republicans still get the high ground, which is what frustrates Jim and their side because they're getting ready to beat us up over it.
Wow. Well, we got to go to another topic. I want to talk to you guys about sexual harassment. This is a topic that's out there. A lot of places we could go. You know, let's just do a list. Senator Al Franken, Democrat from Minnesota, has stepped down. Representative John Conyers, Democrat from Michigan, he's down. Some others under pressure, Trent Franks in Arizona, Blake Fahrenthold in and Joe Barton in Texas, by both Texas congressmen. I said to someone the other day, I said, man, it's like there's three decades or decades of pent-up sort of harassment feelings. And the person, the friend I was talking to, turned to me and she said, decades? She said, centuries.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
But there's something about women with the March on Washington, Hillary Clinton being beat by this, you know, predator himself, the Me Too movement that we're seeing. What do you guys predict is going to happen here?
That culture's changed. There's going
like
to be no going back to the way that it used to be. Remember, we've gone through this. We've had some false alerts over the years where these issues were brought up, but they went away. I just don't see how this genie gets put back in the bottle. And everybody, the biggest stars in Hollywood now, are recognizing that there's consequences. It doesn't matter the size of your paycheck. This just isn't going to be tolerated. The secretary,
or whether you're a Democrat or Republican,
doesn't matter.
Or whether you're a male or a female,
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I'm still waiting for the first man to complain about an older woman.
Yeah, Dan, I want you to comment specifically because you know this way of thinking. But when for every action, there's a reaction.
Yeah.
What is the unintended consequence or reaction here?
Yeah, you're getting Newton on me. I like it. So, you know, an object will
physics.
Stay in motion unless it is altered, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we would have continued down this path of continual sexual harassment and, you know, continual power abuse, I guess. And now something has come along to kind of change its direction and to change its and to change its force. So the question is, where will it go? And to your point, you know, I know of several who are nervous about having members of the opposite sex be staff for one reason or another. And it's not because.
And so this is a discrimination.
Sure.
A form of discrimination that
Absolutely.
Comes as
Nobody
a result.
Nobody will ever
of,
talk about it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
There will be some other requirement that.
So
you know,
women
eliminates
lose
it.
The battle, but. Sorry, win the battle, but lose the war.
That is a possibility, right? And honestly, that's the worst part about it. But I'll tell you this. People do not understand still what sexual harassment is. I think they do. I think they understand what general decency is. I think there's a common, you know, idea of what general decency is, and there's a violation of it. And I think those lines are more clear. But I just don't think people understand what sexual harassment is.
Guys, will this start to feel this more on Utah soil? In other words, everything so far has been about, you know, Hollywood or Washington, D.C. Are you guys seeing anything that would say that this is going to perk its ugly head in either the state capitol or in local politics in some way?
I mean, the culture here, our Utah culture is very much, if there are issues, we need to get behind closed doors. We need to straighten it out. If we do announce it, we need to announce it with a ribbon wrapped around it that it's been solved, it's taken care of,
I just have to smile because I think of Mark Hoffman. For example,
the ribbon.
Well, I mean, you know, here was this bomber, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a settlement was reached.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
Yeah,
so it's harder here, and I think the legislature is going to have to look strongly at its rules because we're very interested in making sure that the elected officials are protected.
Yeah. Do you get sexual harassment training as legislators?
We do. We just completed it. So, but it's a little video.
But
I'll just say,
but still.
I'll just say, because the interpretation of what is sexual harassment and what is not, I think there will be a short period for the next little while where people are concerned about where's the line and what do I do? Because the millennial, and I have learned this, Natalie, the millennial definition of what is sexual harassment is totally different than it is to a 60-year-old.
Yeah, I believe it. We don't have time to talk about it. But
men or women.
I'm going to be interesting to watch what happens with Donald Trump because he's, you know, transgressed in ways that are worse than some of those that are stepping down, and yet there he sits as our president. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. Natalie Gochner, joined by Dan McKay and Jim DeBacchus. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle on KCPW. For more of our in-house podcasts, visit kcpw.org. And while you're there, please consider a donation to keep local programming alive on KCPW.
This is Dan McKay on the right.
Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Natalie Gochner. I'm in the political middle. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. Let's talk about the Salt Lake Chamber. I obviously have a lot of ties there. I serve as their chief economist, worked there for 6 years. Lane Beatty has announced his retirement. The chamber is looking for a new president and CEO. I predict that this will have a lot of whisper campaigns going on across the valley. This is a powerful entity, represents the business voice in this state. Lane leaves behind an incredible legacy from transit to the Utah Compact and immigration reform. What do you guys want to say about that? You're legislators. You've seen the power of the chamber.
I'd like
on the
to
Hill.
See Lane come back to the Senate.
he was a former Senate president.
You know, he's been a very, very, very good leader. But you know, as long as we're whispering, I like Jason Mathis. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of the people over there. I go there and they give me this award, which I try every year invariably, which I try to bury because I don't want my people to know that
they're like legislative champions. Jim gets that
but
from
there
that
is a. There's a young man of the next generation who's just would be a great representative for the chamber.
Dan, as we go to you, I would just say that, and I have to be careful here because I serve on the committee that will make some of these decisions, but they're, one of the things that a lot of people think is a legislator needs to be in this role or a former legislator.
Yeah. I will say, so Lane Beatty's been with the chamber for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And you can probably speak to this much better than I can. But 15 years ago, the chamber was a cute little club mm-hmm. that really didn't have any SWAT. Nobody paid attention to it. Lane Beatty came in and changed the dynamic, I think, of the chamber
Absolutely.
Significantly and was aware of the political, you know, puzzle that needed to be moved around. Mm-hmm. As a result, made the chamber relevant and further made the chamber's issues be something that, you know, have to be heard on the Hill. So... I think they've done an effective job of advocacy. So I don't know if it has to be a legislator, but if they just go with a business leader, mm-hmm. I think they will be missing something.
Yeah.
They've got to have both sides
of that
puzzle.
The heart and will of, yeah. of a legislative body. What about, there's also a lot of changes going on in the legislature. So yeah. my senator,
I feel like people are dropping
Senator
like flies.
Senator Shiazawa took a political appointment
yeah.
in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, a
yeah,
Trump
you, you
appointment.
You know that administration better than I do, but it was an exhaustive process.
Big
he
deal.
Had recommendations from a lot of people
yeah.
and was eventually chosen
so
by President
We have a senator
Trump.
That's left, and then we also had Representative Dean Sampei, who was, yeah. was he the chair of
the executive? The chair of executive appropriations.
Which is a huge job.
So he was working for IHC and was one of their trusted advisors, and he left to go work. He's leaving to go work for a group in
healthcare. Strategist and
yep, over in Denver, and he's incredibly bright. So no one's surprised to see him be employers to be interested in him. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I am going to personally miss the guy. He is one of my best friends in the legislature.
Yeah. Jim, any commentary on changes in the legislature? There's more that could be afoot.
Brian Shiazawa is just a righteous, wonderful, decent human being who could talk to anybody. We're going to miss him a lot. And I Trump, it took him a year to find this person. When they figure out what Brian Shiazawa believes in and his morality and his genuine need to help, they're going to fire him.
You know, Jim is just salivating. You can't hear it. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but I can hear it. Jim is salivating right now because, Jim, you know, he knows that Brian Shiazawa's seat is mathematically not a Republican seat in the state of Utah.
Exactly.
For all of his gerrymandering he wants to talk about, technically, Brian Shiazawa's seat is a safe Democrat seat.
So Kathy Allen has announced that she'll
You've got Democrats that are just now frothing to get into that seat, and you got Republicans literally combing that district trying to find a member of the Republican Party to run for that.
They're trying to find a reasonable one, and that's always difficult. But, you know, did you hear Natalie say that's her senator?
I did. Trust me.
Should we both go?
Should we
start a little fund here?
Yeah, you're my friends. I appreciate it. Hey,
what do you got, Jim? I got $8.
At the Gardner Policy Institute, we do the state's population estimates.
Let's keep talking about that right over and pretend she's not here. Wouldn't she be perfect? Because she really knows government.
I know.
And if she were a man, she would have been governor by now.
Yeah. Well, okay. I think that's very sexist to say, Jim. But that being said, You're probably right.
Okay, back to the data.
Oh, sorry. Data.
I want to...
Will they take her in the Senate? I mean, would they take a woman?
Would they seat her?
I don't know.
Would they seat her?
Would they seat her? You know?
Guys, we added 57,000 people. New news out about the new population estimates.
She'd be great, wouldn't
she? That's about the size of Taylorsville.
Exactly.
Oh, my
Senator
gosh.
Senator Gochner.
Okay. All right.
Senator
so,
Gochner.
She could get her little thing funded, too, right?
I
mean,
love it.
You know, what'll happen?
She can put up some
I'm as red as my Barry blazer I'm wearing today.
That's so great. You can't see it.
But, guys, Utah's housing gap. That's where I was going. 57,000 more people in the state. Most of them moving into Salt Lake County and Utah County or being born into those counties, migrating into those counties. We are not building enough homes. Housing prices are rising like crazy. Mm-hmm. People are having a hard time affording living here. It's changing some dynamics.
Look, call me a socialist or a communist. Call me anything you want.
You're a socialist and a communist, Jim.
Thank you. We need more government help to get low-income housing. The market obviously has gone berserk. And guess what? For all of this $1 trillion we're going in the hole for the on the new budget by the Republicans, they're cutting housing.
Jim,
it's dramatic.
I got a good Republican response to that, and that is, can we just stop all of the land use regulations that are precluding affordable
Seriously?
Housing from being built?
Yeah, this whole regulatory
environment.
Free
market here.
I know.
But I don't see that coming from the Trump administration. To do that, I see them stopping the money going
How's
to low-income housing.
Trump? Our zoning administrations are being run at the local level.
We're talking about West Valley City,
yeah.
West Jordan,
Let's
Draper,
change
I got a project
Holiday.
In West Valley City. No kidding, Jim. West Valley City, right? Super far away from the major metropolis of downtown Salt Lake. And they don't want anything less than third-acre lots.
No, those days are over.
Third-acre lots.
It's still going
on. And houses above grade have to be 3,000 square feet.
Yeah.
When you average $200 to $250 a square foot, you tell me how someone's going to afford
it's
a $3,000
house. That's got to change.
Okay.
We're going to put how many people are we putting in the next 50 years along the Wasatch Front here, Natalie?
We will add about 55,000 people every year.
Okay, so look, all of those old ideas about a big lawn and it's a blah, 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 they're over.
Like the counties are
filling
up.
Jim has declared no more lawns.
Here's another one, guys. so we have the Mighty Five, Utah's national parks.
Yeah.
People are saying we're now going to get the Super Six.
Ooh.
There will be a, you know, hearing this week about Canyons of the Escalante National Park proposed by Congressman Stewart.
That name's got to change. We already have Canyon. Canyon Lands.
Well, I don't even know if it's that. I said it.
Okay. I'm like, we got to change this thing.
But the interesting thing is there's political strategy behind this. And I don't know, Dan, if you can speak to it or Jim, if you can. But really what they're trying to do is make the...
Emily tells us it's Escalante Canyons. Sorry.
Okay. What they want to do is make the lines permanent that just happened with the Trump visit for the monument and the park. Do you know the politics of this, Dan?
Absolutely, right? The last
so
thing...
So how does this work? What is it? How does designating a national park make it so another president can't come in and change these monument boundaries?
Well, in the next 2 years, they will start spending money. They will have a...
Visitor center.
They will have tours set up. So once you do all of that stuff, the thought is, well... Certainly, we can't change it back or change the boundaries. And it just highlights the dumb politics of land in the West. You know what I mean?
It is out of balance.
Out of balance. And the federal government needs to get the freak out of our business.
I thought there was something else coming out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Jim, new national park for the state. You love to speak about the Colorado Plateau.
What a cynical, pathetic move by Chris Stewart. I mean, he's used to doing low-down things.
I'm surprised he didn't blame it on Mia, because that's every time it's any member of our delegation, he's talking about Ben.
We started with 1,800,000 acres. Trump cut it in 3 hours down to 1 million without any local hearings or buy-in from anybody except his little circle. And now Chris Stewart comes out to save the day to turn this, what was 1.8 million, down to 100,000 to 200,000 acres. And he's saying, isn't it what I'm doing wonderful? Baloney. You got to be a hell of a cynic to do what he did and float this as some kind of a good thing for the land. It's pathetic what Chris Stewart is doing, and he ought to be impeached.
Okay, guys, I'm going to jump from one tough thing to another one, but we have just got to talk about this inversion and air quality in our state.
Yeah.
This lethal soup that we are all breathing right now and affecting our moods.
I encourage everyone to go to UCAIR.org, And on their website, they have a great post, The Myths and the Facts of Air Pollution, and what's causing it, what's not. And it will highlight why Jim is wrong for the next 30 seconds.
Okay, Jim, turn it on.
What do you mean 30 seconds?
Because he's still a socialist and a communist.
There's his 8 minutes here. Look, you know what kills me? I love to listen up in the legislature when they start pontificating. They usually take off their glasses and they lean in and they say, you know, it used to be a lot worse. And now it's not so bad, as if they had anything to do with it. It's only the EPA regulations that came in and forced the state of Utah every step of the way to change things. And now it has cleared up. And now they want to take credit for it. And the EPA is going down, and it's going down fast under Donald Trump. This is a catastrophe. We need a strong EPA because the state doesn't have the guts to look industry in the eye and make the regulations we need to get this thing done. There are solutions to this. The state simply refuses to take them.
Yeah.
Of course, we forget to mention earlier when we were talking about legislators leaving. We have Kerry Gibson, Weber County Commissioner, who's resigning to go take a position with the EPA. And there are legislators who are potentially going to run for that seat. But we have a Utah influence in the EPA, which we haven't had for a long time, not since the Levitt administration. Yeah. So I think there's...
Could be interesting.
It could be
an influence for good or evil. I mean, just because they're there. I mean,
saying
Kerry Hatch Gibson's gets all this power financially, and he's using it for evil.
We'll do this in a later show, but Jim, you're always using the word catastrophe, and you've done it a lot in 2017. And I've just been thinking about
Have you seen the president?
Well, I've just been thinking about how 2017 has just been a tough year. And hence we get the term catastrophe out of Jim. I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting. Hey, let's do one other issue before we go to gripes. Let's just hear your quick words about the Hatch-Romney whispers that continue to go on. What are you guys hearing? It seems to be the political chatter, you know, class talking about this.
I think, and from what I hear, talking to Republicans, because I have no clue.
Jim's our source here.
The deal was pretty much set that Hatch was going to turn the transition over to Romney, and that was it. Now with the whole Trump thing, Hatch has sold his soul. He's feeling his oats. It's all on Romney's shoulders. Does he have the guts to take Orrin Hatch on? Nobody's going to give him the Senate seat on a platter. And so what's going to happen? Is Romney just going to acquiesce and go away right off in the sunset? Or is he going to write his big check and be all in? And are we going to have the mother of all Senate battles?
I remain right where I started. And that is, I don't think Hatch seeks another term, but I think he holds on as long as he wants.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Natalie. I think all this posturing and stuff that's going on right now, I think it is only kind of revving up the Hatch engine. Mm-hmm. And getting him interested in running, so I think he's going to run, and I don't think Romney is going to run. That's just my guess.
You can't agree with Natalie. She said she thinks he's not going to run.
I can do that.
Okay, I think he doesn't run. I think that for a whole variety, and at the top of the list will just be health reasons, that he's just ready to let it go.
I mean, are we not supposed to talk about the way he walked down the airplane?
We're not supposed to
with
talk
Hatch.
About that,
I mean, with
a lot of people
president...
have trouble walking at the age of 20. You can't. I mean, walking isn't a task.
It is a task,
and it goes to the U.S. Senate.
Mental...
You have to be a U.S. citizen, have a pulse, and be over an age. I can't remember where that required. Where that
but
is.
But he certainly meets all those.
But he meets all those requirements.
What about voters' requirements? They may have additional ones.
Hey guys, let's go to gripes. Dan, I go to you first because nobody likes to follow Jim on gripes.
Yeah, and I get that, right? So I think the gripe world, I had a great one and it just disappeared. But as I look at the gripes, I think about how this podcast, candidly, we need more interaction from our listeners. I would love to hear like more from people. I mean, McKay is crazy. We love Jim. Or I mean, we know that's not going to happen, but, you know, Jim is crazy. You know, we love Natalie. I mean, we would have loved to hear that kind of feedback.
What I love
from
it is when we
listeners.
Hear from listeners that you used a fact incorrectly, and then they never correct Jim on
facts.
Oh,
well.
He's never made a mistake.
Jim, what's your gripe?
My gripe is, first of all, I'm torn. Go see Newsies. I saw it at Pioneer Theater Company. It was so much better than the gazillion-dollar show at the Eccles, that Bodyguard. Go see Newsies. It's playing through the 20th. It's a terrific show. Also, our congressional delegation and Trump ought to be ashamed of himself. He named Bears Ears Shashka which is a Navajo name. The five tribes involved said, please use bear's ears because it's going to be too divisive if you pick one language. That's a Navajo word, and it's white guys burying themselves trying to divide up Native Americans once again. Shame on you, Trump administration.
Yeah, that's a good one for our listeners to hear. You know, my gripe is just dealing with cold season. My husband has not had a voice. You know, I go to bed with him at night, and I'm not sure how close I want to get to him. It's just been a bad season for colds. And with the inversion,
it's
even
worse. Is that
a good
thing when your husband can't talk?
No. I want a healthy husband.
Okay.
I'm off on the cold. Hey, you've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. The program is produced by Emily Means. I'm Natalie Gochner with Dan McKay and Jim DeBacchus. Thank you for listening.